So he's here with us. We have Nick Jeffrey, and he will be joining us for our new music feature. And he's 21 years old. He's a singer and songwriter, honing a unique mix of singer-songwriter, indie folk, and pop rock. The multi-instrumentalist has taken from a wide range of influences, including Coldplay, Red Hot Chili Peppers, and Matthew Mole, to create a refreshing new sound for his listeners. So welcome to RX Radio, Nick. How are you feeling today?
I'm very good. Thank you so much. Oh, thank you for having me. How are you doing?
I'm good. I have to say I'm a bit nervous. It's been a while since I've been in studio.
Yeah, it happens.
We're on the same page.
But you're doing well so far. You're killing
thanks,
it.
Thanks. So could you tell us how your journey with music started?
Yeah, so music... it's kind of something that's just always been around. I came from quite a musical family. And so from early on, I started learning, you know, instruments and stuff. My parents were really supportive. So they, you know, sponsored me getting like piano lessons, guitar lessons, stuff like that. And yeah, just throughout school, throughout high school, I carried on with it. I started writing songs and stuff. Started kind of joining bands here and there. Singing came a bit later. I was never much of a singer. You know, I think I always had that weird teenager voice. And eventually, you know, it's morphed into me now today doing a solo career, which is really cool. And yeah, you know, seeing what happens now in the
solo
future.
Career.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
So early in the year, you performed on the Espresso Morning Show. How was that experience for you?
Yeah, it was crazy. It was surreal. Like just being there with all the sort of, so much professional people, so many big names in the industry as well. It was a crazy experience. At the same time, like, it's quite weird because, you know, you've got so many people like watching you, but they're not right in front of you. You know what I mean? So it's like a weird feeling. Like you're playing just for, you know, the cameraman and stuff. And then you think, no, wait, there's actually like so many people watching. So it was a really cool experience. Really interesting. It went so quickly. You know, it's one of those things where it's like, you're there, you're like, whoa. And then suddenly it's over. But it was awesome. It was really, really cool. Yeah.
So how is it different to the experience performing in front of a live audience?
Yeah, it's, it is different. I think a lot of people will tell you, you know, they'd be more scared on like the sort of TV Espresso because there's usually more people watching. But I don't know, for me, I didn't really think of the people, you know, watching. I kind of just was more in my element. So I don't know, it's weirdly different because, you know, also when you're performing for a crowd, you can feed off their energy and stuff. Whereas, you know, if you're just performing for like the cameraman, you've kind of got to like, you know, get your own energy, keep it with you. So yeah, it was different, but it was cool. It was a cool experience. Yeah.
So could you tell us a bit more about your single Before I Go, and how did it come about?
So I wrote it a couple of years ago. I wrote it when I was in high school still. I think I was matric, so like 2017 or something. And it was one of the songs which I wrote, and, you know, I liked it, but I never really kind of finished it. I didn't do much with it. I kind of just, you know, put it away in the closet and played it here and there. And then last year when lockdown came, you know, hard lockdown, and we all had to be home for so long, I decided, you know what, I've got this song and I've always been playing it and I've always liked it, so why don't I record it? You know, luckily I had like a microphone so I could record at home. And I decided to record it. You know, I got one of my friends to help me as like producing it and editing it and stuff from, you know, his home as well, because we obviously weren't together. And yeah, then like a year later, April 2021, the song was finished and we released it. And I mean, that was last month. But yeah, it was quite cool how, you know, over so many years, it was like there and finally it's kind of done and out. So yeah.
So was there anything, like any certain experience or something that inspired it?
Yeah, not quite. I mean, it's a song about leaving someone you love, but still hoping they'll beg you to stay with them. And I think I was, how old was I? I was probably like 17 or 18. I was still, you know, trying to grapple with love and relationships and things like that. So I think it was just me trying to sort of envision what like that would be like, you know. Yeah, and hopefully like it does sound quite realistic and relatable, you know, the words and stuff. So yeah.
I believe you're also in the process of possibly performing at Joburg Day. Could you tell us more about that?
Yeah, so that so there was this competition, a Joburg Day competition. I've always dreamt of playing at Joburg Day because I grew up in Joburg.
Okay.
And they had this competition where you sent in sort of a song and they picked the top 10 contestants out of however many, and then you had to get people to vote for you, and it was like Joburg, choose your winner. And they announced the winner yesterday. Unfortunately, I didn't win, which was very sad. But it's just kind of the nature of competitions. It's always quite tough, especially when it's voting. I won't be playing at Joburg Day, but I'm hoping that one day I won't need to enter a competition to play. They'll ask me to play. You know, that's the dream. So, you know, we carry on grinding.
So was Before I Go your first song?
First song I wrote? Not really. It was probably my first proper finished song, okay. I'd say. But I did always kind of write along the way. I mean, I had plenty of songs which I wrote and I thought they were finished. And then, I played them and I was like, no, this is terrible. I can't do anything with this. It's probably the first proper one that really morphed into a full one. Yeah.
Do you remember any of your first songs?
First songs?
Yeah.
I do. There were like a couple that come to mind. I mean, there is actually one that I wrote. I was young. I was like 13 or 14, and it was like a really cheesy one with like cheesy lyrics about being like, "I love you. I want to fight for you." Yeah. Stuff like that. And what I actually did is I recently, in the beginning of this year, I was recording a lot of songs, and I decided to actually take that song and try change it up and finish it, because I wrote it when I was really young, so it wasn't that great, but it was, there was something cool about it. I actually, it's called The End of Time, and I'm gonna release it in like a month or two, but it's quite cool. The End of Time, and it's one of like the first songs I wrote, but I tried to make it a bit better than what it was. So
our theme is Here and Now, We Can Make a Change. How do you envision your music impacting your supporters?
I think it's just in a small way. I think the really cool thing with music is it's often around us, like in all aspects of our life. We don't often realize, a lot of people will listen to music when we're sad, when we're happy, when we're excited, when we're down, when we're jealous. I don't know, there's so many different aspects that come into it. And I really just, the artists I love the most are those who create a song which I can connect with in some way, in some way that's big, small. And so I kind of just want my music to be relatable to people in some way, for them to be able to listen to it, whether they're happy, sad, all the moods you can describe. And just for it to mean something, whether it's huge, whether it's just something tiny in their lives, just uplift them in some way. That's what I want.
We have a lot of young listeners listening to our show who dreams of pursuing a music career. Are there any words of encouragement you have for them?
I think, the music industry, it can be difficult, but I think at the same time it's really about believing in yourself and what you can do. Like, I know it's a bit of a cliche thing, people always say believe in yourself, believe in yourself, and people say it so much that we sometimes forget about it. It's like kind of weird. It's like you wouldn't think so, but it is. And I think especially with music, you've got to trust yourself. You've got to really give it your all, and you've got to be confident in what you can do. You can always get better. You can always improve. There's always practicing, there's always this, there's always working on that, but I think the more you believe in this yourself, the more you work on it, good things will come. You can't become an overnight sensation. It doesn't happen. You've got to put in work into it, and if you love it, you can do that. So that's what I'd say.
How did you decide like which genre of music you wanted to go into? Because there's quite a lot out there.
There's so many. It's actually crazy. When you upload a song to like Spotify and you like, you can click on like a genre, there's literally like 1,000 different genres. There's so many like within each thing. I think for me, I didn't really decide. I think it almost like happened, which I know is like a weird answer, but I think it's just the music I listen to, the artists I like, I'd often sort of, they'd reflect in the music I'd write, and it would shift a lot over time. Like what I listened to like 10 years ago is different to what I listen to now. But I think, I don't think I really decided. I think it just like came out based on who I was listening to.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I just want to say thank you so much for having me. It's been really cool chatting to you, very cool meeting you. This is a really cool place, and I love what you guys are doing. So thank you so much.